Would you stand? Let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? I said, are you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Hear the holy roar of God resound. Watch the waters part before us now. Come and see what He has done for us. Tell the world of His great love. Our God is the God who saves. Welcome to Noble Assembly of God Church this morning. We're so glad that you are here. Let's go to the Lord and pray and welcome His presence into this place. Lord, we love you today and we truly thank you that you are on the throne, that you rule and reign in this world. And so, Father God, we just pray that your kingdom come and your will be done in all of our lives, in this service this morning, in our country. Lord, we pray that your kingdom come and your will be done. And Lord, we just invite your presence, Holy Spirit, to minister to those who have gathered here today and those watching over the live stream. We just pray, Lord, that you would minister to every single person. You know where they're at. You know what's happening in their lives. And you know what we all face. And we just trust you to do your will in their lives. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We are thankful for our veterans and those who serve to protect our freedoms. This coming Wednesday is Veterans Day. And so I would like, if you are currently serving in the military or you are a veteran and have served in the military, would you please stand? Thank you for your service. We honor you today. We thank God for you. And I'm curious how many of you have a son or a daughter, father or mother that served, or a brother, some like an immediate family member. Would you stand if you have a father, mother, sister, brother, you're a child of a veteran? Amen. Wow, that's awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your service. Jeremy's going to come at this time, and we're going to... Go ahead, Jeremy, come on up. Actually, Pastor Phil is on vacation today, and so Jeremy's going to follow him, but Pastor Phil is on video today doing our announcements from Disney World.
Assembly, you know what time it is. It's time for announcements, and I'm doing announcements from Orlando, Florida. Right behind me is the swimming pool. Don't you wish you were here? Well, here's the announcements for today. Today and tonight is Connect Groups. You want to make sure that you sign up and you go have some fun and some food and some fellowship. So go check out the table in the foyer. There's several groups happening, and we want you to join them tonight, all right? On the 22nd, Mark Perkey will be here to speak to us, and so you're not going to want to miss that when he comes to share the Word of God with us in service. But the most important announcement I have for you this morning is I need you to go out to the table, and on the table you'll see this flyer. It says, Christmas in the Hood Packing Slip. Would you sign up to help us with our Christmas outreach this year? Our Christmas outreach will be on December 12th, that's a Saturday, and on that day, we're going to be giving away Christmas shoeboxes to kids who otherwise wouldn't get a Christmas. All you have to do is sign up on the clipboard. There's a guy's list and a girl's list, and you'll pick up this packing list, and it will tell you exactly what you need to do and what you need to get. So if you'll sign up there, and then there's also a sign up for you to be able to volunteer, help us to serve food, help us to greet people, register people, provide security and other things. It's a great outreach. We have a wonderful time every year. And would you go out to the foyer before you leave today and sign up to be a part? I hope you have a great service. I know Miss Kelly and I are going to have a great time here in Orlando, and we'll see you this next week. Be blessed and have a great time worshiping today. Bye-bye.
All right, two things when Pastor Phil gets back. One, give him a hard time for the fanny pack. And two, thank him for putting a shirt on by the pool. All right. We love Pastor Phil and Kelly, and we're glad that they have an opportunity to get away and rejuvenate and refresh, and we'll be glad when they get back. We do want to let you know, obviously, I was trying to pay attention, but the fanny pack was throwing me off. He obviously will not be doing his Connect group tonight, but we want to extend the invitation to any of the other groups. If you want to join, you can see, I know Pastor Phil is going to Cracker Barrel tonight. My group will be at the Velasquez's, and if you want to just join in with one of the other leaders, you're welcome to do so, and that way we can all stay connected. One other announcement that he did not mention, we want to remind the young people, it was not in the bulletin, but turkey bowling is just a couple weeks away. We've been pushing that at youth, but make sure you're inviting your friends. It's one of our big events where we get to roll frozen turkeys. So be looking forward to that. And at this time, we're going to ask the ushers to come. We're going to receive this morning's tithes and offering. Amen. Amen. All right, let's pray. Join me if you would. Lord, we thank you, God, for this wonderful church that you've allowed us to be a part of, God. We thank you for the opportunities that we have to reach out to this community, Father. Lord, we ask you to bless this offering, bless every giver, bless the gift, God. And Lord, just give us wisdom and direction on how to better and more effectively reach the lost, God. We love you and we praise you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We're going to continue our worship this morning. So after the offering passes, stand back up, and we're going to sing an old favorite of the church, I'll Fly Away. Have y'all heard that one? Amen. Put your hands together and let's worship the Lord. Well, hallelujah. Well, some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to celestial shore.
When my
This morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. What a day that will be. Oh, Lord, I thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We can only imagine what you have prepared for us, oh God. The Bible says, eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for what you've gone away to prepare for those who love you. I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Thank you, Lord. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Jesus. can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. Thank you, Lord. I can only imagine. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We can only imagine what you have prepared. Oh, Father God, let us continue to look forward to that heavenly country, to that place that you've prepared for those who love you. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for our sins. We thank you, Jesus, for coming into our heart and into our life and making us new, putting your Holy Spirit inside of us, changing us from the inside out. Lord, the greatest miracle of all is that miracle that you do when somebody puts their faith and trust in you as their Savior. Oh, Lord. That's what would really change the world, is if everybody would put their faith and trust in Jesus and in the God who created them. Lord, we're thankful for that today. Father God, we continue to lift up those in need of prayer today. We pray for the Summers and Steely family after having had the funeral for little Lily this week. We thank you, Lord, that Lily is in heaven with you. Not even 4 years old, but today in heaven, she is completely whole and completely well. And we look forward to the promise that we have in you that we will see her again. We pray for the Wheat family as Herman made his journey to heaven, and we pray that you would comfort his family. We pray for the Shaw family as Pastor Steve Shaw made his journey to heaven this week. We pray that you would comfort Marion and the rest of their family, Lord. God, we lift up George and Elaine's two sons, Adam and Sean. We just pray that you would touch them both today, both in need of your healing. We pray, Father God, that you continue to be with Rhoda McCarty. We're glad she's here today, and we thank you for that, and we pray that you continue to touch her. Lord, I know there are many others who are fighting the virus or sick or in need of something, connected to our church or connected to us in our families, and we just pray for them right now. We just know that there's nothing too hard for you. Lord God, just reach out and minister to those in need today. Father, we do pray for our country. Continue to lift up our nation, our president. We lift up this election. Lord, we just want truth to prevail. Lord, we don't want there to be anything that is suspect, but God, we want a true election. And Father, we just pray that your will be done in this country. And we pray, Lord, your will be done all over the world, that lives continue to be changed, that hearts continue to be melted and remade in your image. God, just bless your church as we are to be salt and light in this community and around the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Praise God. What a delight to be in the house of the Lord. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And find verse 10. Matthew 13:10. We're going to read 8 verses down through verse 17. Matthew 13:10 through 17. In a message I've entitled this morning, Making Sense. Making Sense. His disciples came and asked him, "Why do you use parables when you talk to the people?" He replied, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. And that is why I use these parables. For they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened and their ears cannot hear. They have closed their eyes so their eyes cannot see and their ears cannot hear. And their hearts cannot understand and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they long to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. Father God, I thank you for your promises. I thank you, Lord, for your help in preaching the word of God today. And I pray that you would give us spiritual ears that are open today to what you would have to say. I pray, God, that your anointing of your Holy Spirit would rest upon me as I deliver the message you've placed on my heart for this service. And we ask this in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen. Amen. The last few days and weeks and even months have been some of the most troubling times that I have witnessed in my life. Although I would have to say it could be much, much, much worse as it is in other places around the world where people are having to defend the faith or die. You know, there's people where the persecution and so on is in such in China and other places where it is not safe to even name the name of Christ. So it could be a whole lot worse, but certainly there are a few things that are becoming more and more obvious in the days in which we live. Number one, these are perilous times of the last days, as 2 Timothy 3 talks about. It says, in the last days, perilous times will come. And it gives a description there in the first few verses of 2 Timothy chapter 3 about this day in which we live. And so I believe we are in the last days. We're in perilous times. And secondly, we have an enemy called the devil or Satan who prowls around, as 1 Peter 5 talks about, as a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So church, we have an enemy, and he is doing his best to destroy all that is good and right. Thirdly, God is still on the throne. I said this last year on this date. I saw it on the timeline of Facebook this morning that I said last year, and Sheila shared it, that God is large and in charge. And you know what? I said that 2 years ago. It's still true. God is large and in charge. And he sees what is happening in our lives and in this country and around the world. He sees what's happening in your life. Because Jesus said in Revelation 22 that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I'd say if somebody declares that, they're large and in charge. Amen. If they're the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, nothing happens that they're not aware of. I would say that the Lord is in charge. Number four, the more I lean on him and not on my own, what? Understanding. The more my heart is at peace, even in the midst of all that is happening in our world. I have had just a strange peace. I can't explain it over the last few days. And you know what? I just am convinced in my heart that no matter what happens in this nation, what happens to me, what happens in my family, I am a child of God. And God sees and God knows regardless of what happens. And so I just had this strange peace, even in the midst of all that's happening, both even in our family and in our church and in our world and all around. The Lord is... He's got me. Has he got you? Amen. And then fifthly, as I talked about Wednesday evening, I'm reminding myself, and our songs kind of reflected this morning in the choice of songs for worship, that we're simply on tour in this world. Our heavenly home is in heaven. Our better home is in heaven. We are simply here on tour for a little while as Christ's representatives, as his ambassadors. We are called to be salt. We are called to be light. And we are headed to a better country, a heavenly one, as Hebrews 11 describes. Our job is to take Jesus to this world until the day Jesus comes and takes us to his world. Amen? Hallelujah. In the text we read in Matthew a few moments ago, Jesus is talking to a crowd of people about the kingdom of God, and so that they can understand what he says more easily and more readily, he tells them stories or illustrations that he calls what? Parables. Yes, parables. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And Jesus continually spoke in parables so that they could grasp the concepts of the kingdom. And he tells the disciples in verse 11 that those who choose to follow him and believe will learn and be able to understand his teachings. But those who do not believe and who fail to follow him, they will not be as easily able to understand the things that are written here in the Word of God and his teachings. And it goes on to describe them that says that they will have eyes, but they won't be able to see. They will have ears, but they won't hear. And they will have hearts that they just don't get it. They don't understand. And that's what's happens a lot of times when the gospel is even preached and when people are witnessed to, they don't grasp it because their hearts are darkened. Which is one of the reasons why I love a particular chapter of the book of Isaiah, because it's so comforting and wonderful to read, and it goes along these lines. If you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 43, and I want to read the first 13 verses of Isaiah 43. So I want you to just listen and or read on the screen as we come up here. It says, "But now, O Jacob," and he's speaking to Israel, but we are, in a sense, modern-day Israel, children of God, so you can put your name there. "But now, O Steve," or your name, "listen to what, listen to the Lord who created you, O Israel. The one who formed you says, 'Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt as a ransom for your freedom. I gave Ethiopia and Serba in your place. Others were given in exchange for you. I traded their lives for yours because you are precious to me. You are honored and I love you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will gather you and your children," can you say amen, "you and your children from east and west. I will say to the north and to the south, 'Bring my sons and daughters back to Israel from the distant corners of the earth. Bring all who claim me as their God, for I have made them for my glory. It was I who created them.'" And listen to this, "Bring out the people who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. Gather the nations together, assemble the peoples of the world. Which of their idols has ever foretold such things? Which can predict what will happen tomorrow? Where are the witnesses of such predictions? Who can verify that they spoke the truth? But you are my witnesses, O Israel, says the Lord. You are my servant. You have been chosen to know me, believe in me, and understand that I alone am God. There is no other God. There never has been, and there never will be. I am the Lord, and there is no other Savior. First I predicted your rescue, then I saved you and proclaimed it to the world. No foreign God has ever done this. You are witnesses that I am the only God, says the Lord. From eternity to eternity, I am God. No one can snatch anyone out of my hand. No one can undo what I have done." Those are powerful and encouraging words that God is in control, and that when we pass through the waters, he'll be with us. When we go through the fire, he'll be with us. And that the Lord can lead out those who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. There are people that you work with, or maybe in your family, or that are your neighbors. They have spiritual, or they have physical eyes and ears, but their spiritual eyes and ears are darkened. They don't grasp what in the world we're talking about. What all this about the Bible and Jesus and creation and salvation? They don't understand it all. That's why we need to pray, Lord, let their eyes be opened. Let their ears be opened to the truth. Let them understand the fact that you love them, that you died on the cross for them, that you have an amazing plan for their life and a more amazing future in heaven for them. Hallelujah. Encouraging words from Isaiah 43. This morning, I want to give you three areas in which the Lord wants to help us as his children make sense. Number one, the Lord wants to help us make sense of what we see. He wants us to help us make sense of what we see. Remember, as a follower of Christ, you can and should see things differently than the world does. Because, you know, the Bible says that the world thinks the things of God are what? Foolish. It's a bunch of foolishness. The world thinks God is foolish. This Bible's foolish. But the children of God know it's the power of God unto salvation. So we see things that happen in our world, in our community, in our family, and even ourselves that doesn't always make sense. Things happen to us, we don't understand why. This does not even make any sense. And sometimes we are prone to say, why? Have you ever asked God why? Why am I going through this? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why wasn't this person healed? Why is my son or my daughter not believing as I have taught them and showed them all my life and their lives? Why? And it's natural to question, but let those questions turn you to God and not from God, okay? Let your questions turn you to God, not away from God. I've known people where something's happened in their life, and they were following the Lord, but something terrible happened, or some sickness or something happened, and instead of it taken to them, they took them away from God, and they're not in the church today because God didn't come through like he was supposed to in their book. We cannot let that happen. We must continue to trust God, even though we don't understand, continue to move forward. Give what you see that doesn't always make sense to the Lord. Just give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord in prayer and seek to walk by faith and not by sight. Remember Hebrews 13:8 that declares no matter what is happening that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always the same. He doesn't change. He doesn't change his mind about his will and his word. It's settled in heaven. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God that saw Daniel in the lion's den. The same God that saw David before Goliath, the same God that saw three Hebrew teens in a fiery furnace sees you too. Look at your neighbor and say, he sees you. The same Jesus that said, as Pastor Phil preached a few weeks ago, peace be still to a powerful storm. The same Jesus that raised Lazarus from the dead and turned the water into wine is the same Jesus that can turn your situation and this world's situation around too. Amen. He's the same God. He hasn't changed. The same Holy Spirit that was poured out on Pentecost is ready to be poured out on you and your family as well. To make sense of what you see, filter it through the pages of God's word. Filter it. And we use filters all the time. Your air conditioning unit has a return air filter that I honestly am not that great at remembering to change. Carol sometimes will say, Steve, it doesn't seem like it's cooling. When was the last time you changed the air filter? Let me go look. 2011? No. Not that bad. I try to date them. I take a Sharpie and I write on there when I change them. I try to change them every 6 months or something like that. But, you know, our car has filters. We have an oil filter. Do you never change your oil filter on your car? And when you bought it in 1975, you've never changed the filter? Your car probably needs a new filter. We use filters. Some of you have filters on your water tap coming into your house. You'll have a clean water filter. The same thing that when we hear and see things that we don't understand, we need to filter it through this. Filter it through what God says. Let the word of God give you eyes of faith in a world of doubt. Someone quoted it this morning in Sunday school, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The word of God builds our faith, and it's our filter for what we see that doesn't always make sense. We just need to let the word of God be our filter. I love the story of Elisha's servant in 2 Kings chapter 6. It's one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. And some people say, I don't care about the Old Testament. I don't understand the Old Testament. Well, if you think about this, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. You can see the connection. If you read it, you study enough, you can see the beauty of how they're both flowing in and out of each other. And in 2 Kings chapter 6, one of my favorite stories is when Elisha and his servant were surrounded. The king of Aram got very upset because every time he would go to attack somebody, the prophet would tell Israel what they were going to do, and he would find out about it. And so the king, the enemy, says, we got to do something about this prophet. He is making me mad, and we have got to take care of him. And so it says in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 14, so one night the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. And the city is where Elisha and his servant was. Verse 15, when the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. Oh, sir, what will we do now? I've been hearing people say that lately. What are we going to do now? The young man cried to Elisha. Elisha said, don't be afraid, for there are more on our side than on theirs. Then Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes and let him see. The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. Hallelujah. Many times we don't always understand what we see. But I want to tell you, what we don't see is just as real as what we do see. In the spirit realm, God has his armies, he has his warriors, he has his angels, he has his presence that's surrounding us at all times. The army ends up being blinded by the Lord, trapped, and sent home in disgrace. They didn't kill him. They wanted to kill him. We're going to kill him? No, don't kill him. Just send him home with their tail between their legs, so to speak, and let them be embarrassed. And so they were sent home. So here's the deal. When what you see makes no sense and you feel outnumbered, remember, there are more on God's side than that of our adversary, than that of the devil. God is in control. Amen. Secondly, the Lord wants to help us make sense of what we hear. He wants us to help us make sense of what we hear. You know, there are lots of voices out there, especially now with social media. There are more people with more opinions than any time in history, I think. Or at least we hear about them now. You know, I think this, the last 10 years has gone crazy with so many people posting on social media. And, you know, social media is good to an extent. I think it's great to see things, but there's also a downside to it. Like anything, there's good and bad. So there's lots of voices out there speaking to us and speaking into our life. And here's a real good starter piece of wisdom concerning understanding and making sense of what you hear. You want to know what it is? Don't believe everything you hear. Don't believe everything you hear. Well, you say, oh, I saw it on the internet. It must be true. What is that one commercial? I can't remember now. It's kind of, they haven't showed it in a while, about the guy doing something. He says, well, it's on the internet. It had to be true, you know. Don't believe everything you hear. Let, once again, the Word of God be your filter. Filter it through God's Word. The Bible will stand forever. When everything else has passed away, Matthew 24, 35 says, heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. When everything else is gone, God's word is still going to be true and still going to be standing. So prayerfully and carefully find out God's position on what you hear and stick by it. I'll always stick by God's position than anybody else's. That's the safe position, because God is, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. He is truth. You never go wrong. You might be the only one. Everybody else around you might be flocking to the other opinion. But God's way is always right. Because you see, God's position, it may be out of style, it may not be up to date in the minds of some, but that doesn't change a thing. If I'm wrong, if I say I'm choosing this route, I'm believing this about such and such, if I'm believing that and I'm wrong, well, guess what? I'm wrong, just, well, go to the same place you. We'll just all go to wherever we go. If you don't believe in heaven or hell, whatever happens, if I'm wrong and this Bible is just a farce and it's just a fairy tale and I'm wrong, then wherever you say we go, I guess we'll all go together. But if I'm right, I'm sorry. You won't be a part of what God has prepared for those who love him. Don't let the world's voice speak louder than the voice of the Lord. And the Lord speaks through his word. He speaks through his church and the leadership, pastors and teachers and godly friends and parents and people that the Lord has chosen to be voices in your life. God's word gives directives in many, many areas that are contrary to what the world tells you today. There used to be a day in this country when, regardless of what party you were a part of, there was still a pretty good moral side. It was, differences had to be maybe with foreign policy, other things like that. And there was, you know, whether you were red, blue, or independent, whatever, there was pretty good moral, you know, we had a better moral compass in our nation at one time. It's not that way anymore. It's not that way. There are many, many out there that tell you what is right today is totally what the Bible says is wrong. And there are many out there that tell you what is wrong today and what is not good today is something the Bible declares is truth. So we need to be careful what we hear. We need to line it up with the Word of God. If the Bible speaks out against sin and tells us about right and wrong, then we need to stand by what the Word of God says. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10 says some pretty clear words about not being misled and the joy of listening and doing life God's way. In verse Galatians 6, 7, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. God won't be mocked. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith. Amen. We reap what we sow. You choose to follow the flesh, you choose to follow the voices of this world, and you're going to reap the consequences of it. You choose to follow God's way, which is the narrow way. You know, very first sermon Jesus really preached in the Beatitudes, he said there's a wide road and there's a narrow road. There's a wide gate and there's a narrow gate. The wide road and the wide gate leads to destruction. The narrow road and the narrow gate leads to eternal life. That means there's always going to be more people on the wide road than the narrow road. There's going to be more of your classmates at school, high school and junior highers. There's going to be more of your classmates that's going to be on the road to destruction than the road to eternal life. Your job is not to cry foul and demean those and call them names. Your job is through love and through the power of the Holy Spirit's witness to pull them off of that road and get them on the right road. And the same what is true for teens is the same as true for adults. That's our calling, is to get people off of the wrong road. Only the Lord can do that, but he uses our witness to do that. I was telling the class this morning, and when I went to my, and I've told you this before, I went to my class reunion a few years ago, and there were people that I graduated with, and that there were some guys there that I knew in high school, and I found out that they're Christians, and some of them are even pastors today. I thought, God, you really do have a sense of humor, because I could never see them ever, ever in church, let alone being a pastor. Somewhere along the way, God took them through the witness of other people and through the power of the Holy Spirit off of the one road and put them on the other. And we're so thankful. There's an old poem that says, I took the road less traveled, and it made all the difference. Made all the difference. Finally, not only would the Lord help us make sense of what we see and what we hear, the Lord wants to help us make sense of what we feel. Feelings are powerful. Emotions can get us messed up if not controlled by the Spirit's power. People can let their emotions just drive them nuts. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. If you allow any and everything to get into your heart is just like a wide open door for whoever and whatever wants to speak into it. You're going to be messed up. You have to guard your heart. You have to say, that's not entering in. I'm not letting that in my heart. I'm not letting that wrong attitude, I'm not letting those words of anger or hate or whatever enter my heart. I'm not letting that untruth into my heart. I'm guarding my heart. I don't care if all the world is saying this is the way it should be. My Bible says no, and so I'm guarding my heart. It's not going there. Because out of it flows our life. And another scripture in Matthew 12:34 says, whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Out of your heart, the mouth speaks. So our heart, our feelings determine our attitudes and our moods. For this one, once again, I encourage you to seek to stay close and connected to the Lord. Filtering it through your word, the word of God, the feelings you may have, and count on the help of the Holy Spirit. A moment ago, we read from Galatians 6, but I want you to look back to Galatians 5 at verse 16 in the Lord's help in handling and making sense of our emotions. Verse 16, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. You see, when you become a Christian, you get a new nature. You still have that sinful nature, and you're not going to get rid of that completely until you get to heaven. Because before you were a Christian, that sinful nature just dominated everything you did. You didn't even stop to think, is this right or wrong? It was just your nature. But then you became a Christian and the Holy Spirit moved in. Now you've got two natures. It's kind of like the story Billy Graham tells of two dogs, a black dog and a white dog. And the owner of these two dogs would take his dogs to dog fights, and he would get people to place bets on which one of the dogs would win. And they never could figure it out, because every time this man took his two dogs to the dog fight, he always knew which one of his dogs would win. He always knew at this certain fight that the black dog would win. And then he'd go to another town and host this thing and take bets. And he always knew at that fight the white dog would win. And he was just raking in money hand over fist. And people said, how do you always know which one of your dogs is going to win? You always know if it's the black dog, you say that and he wins. And if it's the white dog, you always know. How do you know that? How are you never wrong about which one of your dogs is going to win? He said, it's easy. I feed the dog I want to win, and I don't feed the other one. I feed the dog I want to win, and I starve the dog I don't want to win. And it's weak, and it can't fight like the other one. The same is true of us. If you want to win spiritually, feed the spirit side of you. If you want the devil to win, feed the flesh. Feed that sinful nature. Put all that trash in your mind and in your heart. Let everybody and their brother come into your heart, and you'll be destroyed. So we have to make that choice. We have a free will. God tells us, are you going to follow me, the spirit nature or the sinful nature, the black dog or the white dog? Whatever we feed will win. And a part of that feeding process is watching and being careful of what's in our mind and what's in our heart, what we see, what we hear, and everything I've spoken to you about today. Even when it doesn't make sense. Sometimes our feelings don't make sense. I don't know why I feel that way. You know, we're emotional people. We aren't like an animal or something. We have a spirit, and it can get hurt, and it can get crushed, you know. But we have a mind, and we have eyes, and we have ears, and we need to filter all of that through the Word of God, because God is never going to lead us astray. Being filled with the Spirit is the biggest way to make sense of how we feel and set our heart aright. Set your heart aright. In conclusion, musicians come. Let me just ask as they're coming, is this message making any sense to you? I started working on this. I thought, I don't even know if I am making sense. I hope it is. It's what the Lord really laid on my heart about making sense of what we see and what we hear and how we feel. Because that's kind of where we've all been. And not just this week or last week, but throughout the rest of our life. I hope so, and here's the reason. I hope this message is making sense because we live in a sin-sick world, do we not? And a sin-sick world needs to have a healthy church speaking to it. We can't be sick like the world. The world needs a doctor. When you're sick, you go to the doctor. And this world is sick. You know, there's sin abounding in their world, and there always will be until Jesus comes. The church needs to be healthy. It needs to be saying, here's hope, here's help, here's life. Jesus is saying, choose life. And we're his representatives. We're his doctors to this world. And yes, there's times even the doctor may not be able to make sense of everything he sees and hears and feels. But when we can't make sense, we go to the one who never, never fails. We go to the Word of God, regardless if it's popular or not. Go to the Word, and the Lord will give you what you need. He will give you the words to say. He will give you the right attitude. He'll help you change directions. Some of you watching on the live stream today or even here today, you may find yourself on the wrong path. You know you're on the wrong path. You're just trucking through life on the wrong path, and you're headed to a big pit of hell and a big pit of destruction. And nobody's saying anything. Man, you need some people to say, hey, don't go there. Don't go there. You need to make a U-turn and get on the right path. Whether you understand it all or not, whether everything makes sense all the time, you just need to get on the right path. Because in the end, as I said a moment ago, I took the road less traveled and it made all the difference. One of these days we're going to be, a million years from now, listen to me, and I'll say this in conclusion, a million years from now, every single one of us in here is going to be in one of two places. Even, let's back it down, even 100 years from now, I don't think there's going to be too many people, even if you were five today, are probably going to live to 105. My little grandson is a year and a half. I don't think he'll make it to 101 and a half. Could, but most likely, most 99.5 of every percent of everybody in here 100 years from now, in the year 2120, you're going to be dead. I say that, you're going to be dead. This body's going to be dead. And you're either going to be in heaven with the Lord and everything that he's prepared for you because you took the narrow road, or you're going to be in hell with everybody that took the wide road. We have a decision to make. And the glorious thing about it is, the Lord, when he went away and he went back to heaven and Jesus ascended back to heaven, he says, I'm not going away and leaving you without any help. I'm sending you back a helper. I'm sending you back the Holy Spirit to dwell in you and to walk with you and to be on you and help you in your journey so you can go and be where I am forever and ever and ever and ever. Now that makes sense. There's a lot of things in this world don't make sense. But one thing makes sense. Jesus Christ shed his blood for lost sinners. He tells us to come to him for forgiveness and receive that forgiveness. And by faith, our name is put in the Lamb's Book of Life. By faith, we enter into heaven's door when we pass from this life. Where will you be? Over the internet. Where will you be 100 years from now? In heaven or in hell? Father God, I pray that as we all answer that right now in our mind, that you would help us if we are on the wrong road to this day say, Jesus, I am giving my heart to you. Jesus, I am turning around and I'm following you from this day forward. Lord, I want to do the one thing that does make sense. and that is live my life for your glory and for your good. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed right now. I mean, say, Pastor Steve, I know I am lost. I know that I'm not doing as I should. I want you to pray for me. I am raising my hand in boldness today saying, I need Jesus to turn my life around. Is that you? Just lift up your hand. Pray for me. Pray for me. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. I need the Lord to help me turn around. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, speak to hearts right now. We aren't guaranteed tomorrow. That day of our death may come before we put our head on our pillow tonight. Oh God, help us, we pray, to turn our heart to you. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, help us. Be our comforter. Be our guide. Be our healer. Heal. Lord, there's probably some people here today who have some emotions that need healing. There's been some wounds. There's been some troubles, spots that has come up in our hearts and our lives. And Lord, we need the healing touch, the balm of Gilead to be applied to our heart this morning. Right now, Lord, move on those people to receive that touch. These altars are open right now. I'd just like for us to have an altar service at this time, and either at your seat or around the front. Let's call upon the Lord and say, God, touch me today. Heal my heart today. Heal me, Lord. I want to be on the right path 100 years from now, Lord. I want to be in heaven with you, with you, Lord, forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Here, the evidence is all around, that the Spirit of the Lord is here.
Let's sing it again, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, go before me, lead the way.
Make that your prayer.
Be my pillar of fire by night, my cloud by day. Let me follow the Lord. Help me stand upon your word. Holy Spirit,
lift it to the Lord and
lead the way.
Oh, yes, Lord, lead the way. Hallelujah.
The midnight, lead the way. Through the deepest of the sea, send the fire so that I can shine.
Everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just give the Lord a clap offering. That's all right.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Well, I hope this service made sense to you today. Oh, thank you. It made sense to me. Serving Jesus makes sense. Amen. It's just the sensible thing to do. Amen.